Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That music means it is time for the Donnie Football Debrief. I don't have a sponsor on it right now. There should be. Sponsor of the Donnie Football Debrief in 2025. It's the biggest football topic of the day with our football guy, Donnie, who's off today. Although he will be joining us at our Christmas event here at Mike's Beer Bar. They are frantically getting everything ready for this event tonight. Our promotion staff doing a great job. Come by and hang out with us. I'll buy you a beer. We'll listen to some great Christmas music, performances by Pat Fryermuth, Pompiani, maybe, Starkey. We'll see if he goes to the... Mulsey the Snowman.
No, he'll do like, I'm dreaming of a horse follicle just like the ones I used to know.
Charlie, give me a grade for the Mulsey the Snowman song.
I'll give the first 90%.
No, the whole thing.
The whole thing. You've got to grade it in total. We don't grade the first 90% of a Steelers game if they collapse in the last 5 minutes.
Well, if it fits a narrative, you do.
That's a dagger right there. That hurts. It hurts because it's true.
I'll give it a B-.
Pony, give it a grade.
C+.
I'm going to give it a B because I thought the ladies' chorus was very good. Sounded borderline professional, mainly because Gwen was in there and she actually is like a recording
artist. How about Pomp Solo?
Jarring.
In what way?
Just you hear these ladies singing in more of a soprano.
And then here comes Bob,
just like with the register dropping through the floor. It sounded like one of T-Bird's rigged out stereo vehicles where like it makes his hair fly out because it's so low.
All right. You got anything for a debrief today, Charlie?
I do. Michael Vick, he's had a career. I'm trying to...
Great debrief, Charlie.
Yeah,
he's seen the peaks and the valleys, my friend.
Definitely, and right now I would say this is a peak as he is now the head coach for Norfolk State. Discuss a former Steeler becoming a college head coach.
So Norfolk State, is it a state school in the Virginia like system of universities?
Are there schools that have state on there that are not? Yes.
I assume. Okay. So, and I'm asking this as a guy who has always said about Vic what he did, I find like truly reprehensible beyond belief, almost like just that level of cruelty and viciousness.
Yep.
But I have always tried to say honestly, as a dog lover, he did his time. He did what so few of these athletes actually end up having to do. He did like 3 years in a federal prison. Like actually did his time, paid his debt to society, and. Seems, I don't know the guy, by outward appearances, appears to realize how bad the stuff he did was and is trying to make amends as much as anyone could for all of that. One of my clerical questions about this is, he's a convicted felon. So he would just be allowed to be hired at a state-like institution like that as a convicted felon? I guess I would think that that would be sort of disqualifying. For the hiring process.
I agree. One of the, and I don't want to sidestep the question. I will answer it. One of the most, as far as sports figures go, about as conflicted as I've ever been on somebody. Because I've met him, I've talked to him, I've had personal interactions with him. One-on-one and in that situation, I give the guy very high marks for the way he's turned his life around and has been a model citizen ever since that happened. My opinion, though, when you do that, you disqualify yourself from jobs like this. That's me. Like, I just don't like the... And I understand it's Norfolk State. Like, they're not even on the college football map whatsoever.
They're FCS.
They want to do something. We see, you know, to Jackson State's credit, they took a shot on Deion Sanders. Little did they know that that was going to be the breeding ground or the taking off point for him to really right now be one of the iconic faces in college football. And you can't say that it's a publicity stunt with him because he's won at both of his stops. He made Jackson State way better, and he's
almost
made Colorado
made
way,
playoff.
Way, way, way better. He had a tremendous year there. It was not just about getting his son to the NFL and getting Hunter a Heisman Trophy. They overall had a objectively great season based on their past history. So this now trend or pattern of finding guys with big names in these kind of under-the-radar schools, hiring them and taking a big swing. Eddie George at Tennessee State, I think they won their conference championship. Same thing. You know, guy with no coaching.
Hasn't exactly worked for Trent Dilfer at UAB.
Yeah, good point.
Didn't
that
Ed
is a higher
Reed
level,
get
though.
A job somewhere, but that
he
fell
did,
through?
He turned it down. He
it fell
like,
through. It got weird. It was...
Bethune-Cookman?
I think it was Bethune-Cookman, and the whole story got very weird very quick there as far as, was he promised stuff that he wasn't given or vice versa?
I don't know, man. Like, when you display, like, I hate to say this, but this is just the way I feel about it. When you display that level of sociopathic behavior and you just kill dogs and you have no issue with it and you think it's, you know, culturally correct or socially correct, or if you don't, you just don't care because you like the sport of it and the game of it. You can continue to go on living your life, and you play in the NFL.
He made a lot of money after jail.
And he's worked for Fox Sports in an ancillary role.
He certainly hasn't been shunned from polite society as a result. But I think you probably – this is where I would draw a line. Like, Art Briles has tried to get back into coaching after presiding over the Baylor sexual assault scandal. I find that equally distasteful. You know, I'm going to say this, and I want to be very clear. Any crime of, like, any, like, violence you would commit against a human being is always worse than anything you could do to an animal. But there is something about, for those of us who know, like, how dogs are generally wired to be, like, unconditionally loving, the idea that you would be that cruel to an animal that basically just wants to be your best friend, that has always, like, made it much tougher to stomach because it's just, not only are you doing that, you're doing it to something that if you stopped doing that to that dog for, like, for a day... Would you know what I mean? Would, like, have inherently rebuilt its trust in you in some ways.
And I know that they train them to not be that and to be more trained killers or fighters or whatever. But still, they gave the dog no choice
in the matter.
Does not sit well with me whatsoever.
I don't think he should be able to have this gig.
What was the reaction when he signed here in Pittsburgh? Because I wasn't around.
That yielded one of the strangest moments in station history. We thought it was – there were people very upset about it. There were a lot of people who had my opinion that said – the guy did his time. He should be allowed to get a job in his, like, if his skills warrant one in the NFL, which they did. And then we had the random guy who called in to Cook and Vinny at that point.
No, it was me and Joe.
It was Pony and Joe who just said Pittsburgh's always been a cat town.
I forget the exact timing of it. It was late in the summer, so the Steelers' season had started. They were in the preseason. One of their backup quarterbacks got hurt. And I was in Miami on vacation when that happened, and I was seething that I couldn't talk about it.
Because Ron was just ripping through calls.
Oh, my God.
And
not giving an opinion.
No, and the guy called in, and we found out later it was a put-on, and he just said, Ron, Pittsburgh's, I don't think he'll do well here. Pittsburgh's always been a cat town.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite. I thought he said he would do well here because Pittsburgh didn't really have empathy for dogs.
I might be misremembering.
Because they loved cats so much.
I vividly remember that because Sean Gentile, at that juncture, I want to say he had started with the Athletic maybe. I don't know who Sean, maybe the PG still. But he asked me if he could come in and just sit in on my show with Joe. to do like a running diary of like what the Vic reaction was. And the whole thing was waylaid and sent completely off the rails by Cat Town guy.
Here is the here's the Cook column on it. For three words for those of you who are so angry with the Steelers signing Michael Vick that you are threatening to sell your tickets, throw out your terrible towels, burn your jerseys, and never watch a game again. Get over it. You are ridiculous.
I didn't. Did we? What year was that?
That was 2015. That was when Bruce got hurt in the sliding.
Summer of 2015?
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about that for me is that's actually before I ever owned a dog of my own.
We already had Cammy.
We would watch my mother-in-law's dog sometimes, and that was how I realized I didn't get sick from like non-shedders so we could get dogs. But even then, I feel like I had a this is skeezy. Like, the guy was pretty much remorseless and unrepentant about it at first, and yeah, I don't know. I fall back on my kind of initial thing here where, like, doesn't being a convicted felon disqualify him from a lot of jobs like that?
The other thing about the
Are there any people who have been convicted felons who are coaching elsewhere in college sports?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Like, I'm actually asking that seriously
As
to anybody
that would
know. As a
head coach and head of a program, right. I can't think of one.
Like, there are guys who have, like, Briles did bad things as the head of the program and, like, got in the way of investigations and stuff, but wasn't a guy who was a felon. But it would have been like when O.J. Well, no, O.J. wasn't convicted.
Nope.
But, like, I guess you get my point here. If you're a guy who's done here's one, and it's a way worse crime. What if Ray Carruth tried to get into coaching or something like that?
Well, doesn't Dunlap say he's here?
He does live. He did for a long time live around here. He might still.